Today is March the 1st, 2009, and Mark has come up with a discussion topic that I think is apropos, and it's, what is it, Mark? The Slave Maker Catholic Church. Now, why do you think that the Catholic Church makes slaves?
They teach slavery.
Uh-huh. In what way do they teach slavery?
Their church is a slave maker.
Right, but give me some examples. What do they require?
They worship Mary.
Okay, what else?
They pray to patron saints. How they say it?
Patron saints.
They also worship Peter.
Yeah, they do worship Peter. You're right. They call him the first pope, don't they? They require their people to confess their sins to a priest.
Yeah.
They worship the pope.
Yeah.
And they have all this system of works which creates a lot of slaves. It's a very work salvation.
Yeah.
And grace is not a cheap thing, but it's the only thing. And people that make works a requirement to salvation, the Bible says that not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, there's a lot of boasting that goes on in the slave maker Catholic Church. You know?
Yeah.
And I never will forget, one day I pulled into Walmart parking lot, and I started looking at all the rear view mirrors in the cars. I couldn't believe all the beads hanging from the rear view mirrors. They do the rosary, you know. They require people, you say the rosary 10 times a day. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to make you closer to God if you say the rosary. And all the rosary is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Richard Bennett, we had him on sermon audio here a while back, and he says that the Roman Catholic Church is full of not only graven images, but it's also full of pedophiles, sexual abusers. There's a lot of sexual abuse of the nuns and of the priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And we know that because we've heard it on the news. But they do make slaves out of people. You know, there's two main orders in the Catholic Church: Franciscan Order and the Jesuit Order. Richard Bennett was way up in the Franciscan Order of priests, and he viewed firsthand the slave maker mentality of the Roman Catholic Church. You know, back during the Dark Ages, we see the Inquisition and how many millions of people were killed and tortured and experienced a tremendous amount of suffering at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. And people want to criticize the Muslims when the Catholics were just as guilty of trying to coerce and enforce people into the Catholic cult. It is a cult, by the way. It's the largest cult in the world. It's not Christian. And the slave maker mentality, you know, I'll never forget a friend of mine who used to be in the Roman Catholic Church said that when he was 11 years old, he went to confession and he was trying to think of all of his sins that he had committed. And he kept telling the priest more and more and more sins. And finally the priest stopped him and said, "Sonny, you're going to have to come to confession more often." Yeah, they're definitely slave makers, no question about it. It's a way of controlling all of their parishioners, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, but the Catholic Church isn't alone in this whole scenario. You know that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches that are slave makers. We are to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but we're not supposed to be a slave to any religious organization. You know, there's a lot of organizations out there that require of their members a lot of things. You know, whether it's going out and you can just go through a lot of system of works and a lot of religious organizations. You know, the Jehovah's Witness, I mean, look at how they make slaves out of their members. Seventh-day Adventists, the Hare Krishnas, you know, stand in airports and tell people about higher consciousness. And, but you know, the grace of God is a wonderful thing. It gives the elect child of God the comfort in knowing that God did all the work on Calvary and that He is interceding for us. And, yes, we are to put on the whole armor of God that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we are to do good works. Paul said, you know, be careful to maintain good works. But the problem with the Roman Catholic Church is the works are a prerequisite for our salvation, for their salvation. But our works, if we do any good works, are a result of our salvation. See the difference?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Roman Catholics work their way to salvation, they say, whereas a true Christian works out of gratitude and out of a changed heart because of salvation. And it's not a slavish mentality. It is a answer of gratitude of the heart for what Christ has done for us. None of us deserve His favor. We all deserve damnation and hell. If Christ sent everyone to hell, He would still be a just God. But His mercies are new every morning. You know, I tell people all the time, I deserve hell. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a saint who is in a mausoleum. I'm a sinner that has been in the hospital of being saved from my sin. Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He came for a specific purpose. He came to save His people from their sins. That's why He came. He didn't come to call the righteous, but He came to call the sinners to repentance. And repentance is not a one-time thing. How many times have we heard people say, well, I remember when I made a decision for Christ? No. You know, because we live in a fallen world, if we are a true child of God, we will find that we have a repentant heart daily. And we commune with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells inside us. But the Catholics, the slave mentality of the Catholics, the slave makers, they think just because they go to a priest and confess their sins, that then they can go out next week and live any way they want to, as long as they are able to get absolved from their sins before they die by a priest. It's ludicrous. Now, I know that there may be some people listening that don't like the fact that I'm calling an ace and a spade. There was a time in this country when people stood for the truth of God's word, but now it's watered down. Now we have the ecumenical movement, which has raised its ugly head and has invited all paths, all faiths to come together under one umbrella. And what is the umbrella? The umbrella is peace starts with a smile. In other words, keep your head under the sand, my friend. Don't see the realities of the scriptures that says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. No, take on the banner of ecumenicalism, which says all paths lead to God. God is in the middle, and all the spokes represent all the different religions, and they're all going to go to the central hub. No. Let me tell you, my friend, he says there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. God has given him a name that is greater than any name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Pope, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, and not Mother Earth, okay, not even Mother God. You know, now they're talking about Father, Mother God. Well, let me tell you something. God, the Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit represent the Godhead. I was in a meeting recently, Mark, and this fellow was trying to say in this meeting that you have no proof that there aren't lots of different gods. And I let him go on for a while, and then I said, I won't call his name, but I said, you know why I know that you know that you're wrong? He goes, what? I said, do you know why I know that you're wrong? He goes, what audacity do you have to tell me that you know that I'm wrong? I said, no, it's not me telling you that. It's God Himself telling you that, because He says you can look at creation and see the Godhead. You can look at the very creation and see the Trinity is what the Bible says. I says, now I know you believe the Bible is just is not authentic, and it's not inspired, and it's not something that you can rely on. But I said, I rely upon the Bible. And the Bible tells me that you, sir, can look at creation and see the Godhead. Well, you know, he didn't know what to say about that. He didn't have an answer to that, did he? Well, when you're talking to a Catholic, there's one question that you might want to ask the question to the next time that you have a chance to sit down with a Catholic. Here a while back I had an opportunity to sit down with two Catholics. One of them owns a Catholic radio station. The other one owns about four or five now. And I tell you, one good question to ask a Catholic, okay, is who has the most power, God or the Pope? Who has the most power, God or the Pope? Well, you know what their answer is going to be? Well, God has the most power, but God has given the Pope. He is God's vicar here on earth. The slave makers try to lie to the people and say that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. Do you know who the vicar of Christ is? The vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they try to replace the Pope. They try to replace the Holy Spirit with the Pope. Now, what is that called?
Blasphemy.
The Bible says if anyone says anything against the Holy Spirit, they've committed the unpardonable sin. The slave makers have committed the unpardonable sin by making the Pope the vicar of Christ. Well, this is not pick on the Roman Catholic Day. It's just merely pointing out that the Roman Catholic religion are like all man-centered religions. They're slave makers. They're not liberators. Christ is the great liberator. He frees us from sin and death. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Not a slave to all of these, in bondage to all of these works. You know, you don't have to go on a crusade. You don't have to concoct some aberration of Mary. You don't have to buy indulgences to cover your sins. You know, it's a sad, sad thing. Nothing's changed. We're still in the Dark Ages when we talk about the Roman Catholic Church. They still have the office of Inquisition. They've named it something else. Pope Benedict was over that office. And Pope John Paul, before he died, they're trying to make him a saint now so that people can pray to the dead. Well, they pray to the dead anyway. They pray to patron saints. I know one gentleman that talks about his patron, Saint Francis of Assisi. Well, you know what the word for that is, praying to the dead? Necromancy. In the Old Testament, it forbids praying to the dead, communicating with the dead. We're not to pray to the dead, we're to pray to Jesus Christ, who's living and reigning. So here's some thoughts about this. If you want to be a part of the slave makers, join the Roman Catholic Church. If you want to be a part of a doctrine that creates people that are in dark bondage, join the slave makers. But if you want to, if you have a desire in your heart to worship God, to love Him with your heart, then what you would, you don't have to be a part of an organized religion. You know, and you don't have to let Jesus into your heart. If you're one of God's elect, He's going to get into your heart. I guarantee you. He says, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand." He said, "All that the Father has given me will come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out." That's liberty, my friend. That's hope of eternal life. That's trusting in the merits of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Not a Catholic priest, not praying to Mary, not praying to the dead, not doing the rosary, not buying indulgences, not going on crusades, none of that stuff. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, if we had to rely upon our own mind, our own mental powers, our own intelligence and ability to cognitively process information, if we had to rely upon anything other than the merits of Jesus Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. And so I'm glad that Christ is the one that we can rely upon. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne. We cannot trust in the merits of men. They will fail, they will falter, and they will eventually perish if they're trusting in anything other than the merits and the completed work of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would speak to those that might be listening that are in an organized religion that are involved in slave making. And we pray that You would help those individuals recognize the merits of Your completed work on the cross and not the works of men, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.